coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Let us begin with a reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 20. Jesus begins his ministry and calls the first disciples. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. After his baptism and temptation, Jesus started his preaching and healing ministry in the region of Galilee. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, had been removed from the scene because enemies arrested him. But then Jesus stepped on the stage proclaiming the gospel of God, the good news of salvation by grace through faith. Now the prophecies of old are being fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand for the people. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule of God and is both a present reality and a future hope. The idea of God's kingdom is central to Jesus' teaching. The kingdom is at hand. The coming of Christ, the King, brings the kingdom to the people. According to Jesus, the way into the kingdom is through repentance and faith. "Repent and believe," Jesus says. Repentance is a radical change in a person's life as a whole, turning from sin to righteousness. Faith is trusting, clinging to the good news of Jesus' love and salvation. Jesus' ministry on earth would be quite short in terms of time. So from the outset, he called men to follow him and to prepare them to be messengers of the gospel. Now Jesus arrives at the Sea of Galilee, a beautiful lake 14 miles long and 6 miles wide, fed by the water of the upper Jordan River. It is also called the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Tiberias. Professional men were fishing to get their living. Jesus called 4 fishermen to follow him. First, the brother Simon, later also known as Peter, and Andrew. Simon and Andrew had been encountered by Jesus before. Jesus also called the brothers James and John, sons of Zebedee, also named by Jesus as sons of thunder. The fishing business of these men was large enough that it supported laborers from outside the family. Walking away from their business, therefore, meant leaving a successful trade and a fairly secure future. Jesus called them to follow him and he would make them fishers of men, that is, evangelists, preachers of the gospel. Jesus' practice stands in sharp contrast with that of the rabbis, who were chosen by those who wanted to follow their teaching. Jesus, however, chose those whom he wished to follow him. Like fishermen draw fish, so Jesus' disciples were expected to draw people into the kingdom. The brothers Simon and Andrew, James and John, immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. immediately. This expression underlines urgency, an unquestioning response to Jesus' call. Given that the promises of God's kingdom were being fulfilled, one might expect all people to respond to Jesus' invitation as those men did. What a change in life! Not only a change of occupation, but above all a change of heart and mind. The call to discipleship is definite and demands a response of total commitment. Jesus continues to call followers. What is the response? Either drop everything and, in faith, follow Jesus and make sacrifices, or run the risk of missing out on the kingdom. Thankfully, we are not left to our own devices in this regard. God's Holy Spirit, working through the gospel, moves us to faithful discipleship and so also to eternal life. Following the call of the first disciples, Jesus heals a man with an unclean spirit. Listen to the reading from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus heals a man with an unclean spirit. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. And he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This was the first day of Jesus' ministry. He went to Capernaum, which was a sizable town in those days. Simon Peter and Andrew lived in Capernaum, and their house became Jesus' base of operations during his extended ministry in Galilee. Today, a 5th century basilica stands over the supposed site of Peter's and Andrew's house, and a 4th century synagogue is located a short distance from it. As a faithful Jewish man, Jesus went on Sabbath to the synagogue. Synagogues were important religious institutions among the Jews of that day. The synagogues provided places where Jews could study the scriptures and worship God. A synagogue could be established in a town where there were at least 10 married Jewish men. Jesus began to teach in a synagogue. He took advantage of the custom that allowed visiting teachers to participate in the worship service by invitation of the synagogue's leader. Which was the reaction of the audience to Jesus' teachings? They were astonished. Why? Because he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. Christ's authority was God's authority. He did not quote human authorities, as the Jewish masters did, because his authority was directly from God. Jesus' teachings, registered and available today in Scripture, continue to be with authority because they come from the heart and mouth of God Himself. Jesus' teachings are powerful to bring about changes in human hearts, leading them from unbelief to faith, from death to life. While Jesus was teaching, an unexpected event took place. A man possessed by an unclean spirit cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. It was actually the demon who cried out. The man was possessed with more than one demon, but only one demon spoke. Demonic possession intended to torment and destroy those who are created in God's image. The demon recognized that Jesus was a powerful adversary, capable of destroying the forces of Satan. The demon acknowledged Jesus, the Holy One of God. The expression, the Holy One of God, points to Christ's divine origin. The demon knew Jesus' true identity and yet could not overcome him. Jesus then speaks with authority, "Be silent and come out of him." Jesus' power silences the screams of the demon-possessed man. Jesus had compassion on the man and freed him from the horrible evil. Just as Jesus faced Satan immediately after his baptism, so also here he is met by a demon-possessed man. Exorcisms, common in the Gospel of St. Mark, reveal Jesus' identity and power. As in many other instances, here Jesus' teaching is supported by miraculous signs. Now even more than before, those present were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this?" And a new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. As Jesus unfolded little by little his identity, people were amazed. His divine identity and consequently his authority shine bright in his teachings and his works of compassion on people in need. Obviously, such news could not be kept secret. They spread quickly. Jesus' incredible popularity characterized the early days of his ministry. Today, we often see the same thing. People continue to be interested in and even amazed by Jesus' teaching, and yet many fail to depend on him for life and salvation. By the power of his authoritative word and spirit, however, others are indeed brought into saving faith and Christian life. In the sequence of events, Jesus heals many. We read in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." Simon and Andrew, recently called to follow Jesus, welcomed the Master in their home. Jesus and his disciples probably went there for a meal, since the main Sabbath meal was served immediately following the synagogue service. As Jesus arrived in the house, he was met by a person in need. Simon's mother-in-law was ill. Jesus takes notice of the ill woman. His compassionate heart goes out to her. Note the gesture of closeness of Jesus. He took her by the hand and lifted her up. Jesus is not a distant and formal character. No. He reveals himself a close friend. He touches the ill woman and takes her by the hand. In doing so, follows the result. the fever left the woman, she was made well. A wonder indeed. Jesus' works of compassion move people to respond. As an expression of love and gratitude, the healed woman began to wait on the visitors. Jesus' deeds of compassion motivate believers to hospitality and service. The news of Jesus' presence in the house of Simon and Andrew spread quickly. Once the Sabbath day was over at sundown, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. Crowds came together. Where people are, there are always those in need of help. And Jesus did help, healing and casting out demons. Illnesses and demons must surrender to Christ. Jesus probably wanted first to show by word and deed the kind of Messiah he was, in contrast to popular notions, before he clearly declared himself. And he would not let the demons frustrate this intent. Jesus' first day of public ministry, Sabbath, was a busy day. Given the endless series of things to which Jesus attends, we sometimes imagine that he is too busy for us and our problems. But Jesus knows and cares for each of us individually. He actually commands us to lay all our needs before him and stands ever willing and able to help us. Jesus had a night of rest. What did he do the next morning? The evangelist Saint Mark tells us in chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. Jesus prays. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus stayed overnight in Peter's and Andrew's home in Capernaum. Very early in the morning, still dark, Jesus got up and went out to a quiet place, and there he prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. The Gospels repeatedly picture Jesus spending time alone in prayer. He set the priorities in the right order: communion with his Father and starting the day with prayer. Jesus set an example for us in this respect. We do well in finding a quiet place to pray and to meditate on Jesus' teachings. Since Jesus left the house quietly early morning, nobody took notice of his departure. But then later, as people woke up, they realized Jesus wasn't there. "Where is Jesus?" they asked. Simon and his companions went out searching for him. Meanwhile, crowds were gathering in the early morning at the house where Jesus stayed. But Jesus had further plans. Once they found him, he left it clear that his mission was intended to reach people at every place. Instead of spending more time in Capernaum, he went to those nearby villages throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. That was the task he was given, and for that purpose he came into the world. Jesus' goodwill continues to be the same today. He wants to reach out and meet people everywhere and to share with everybody his bountiful gifts. While Jesus was on his move, he met a man with leprosy. This is what the Gospel of St. Mark tells in chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. Jesus cleanses a leper. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. In those days, leprosy did not necessarily mean what we today know as leprosy. The word leprosy was used for various diseases affecting the skin. Anyway, there was a man in physical need and he implored Jesus' help. His attitude of imploring and kneeling showed humbleness and dependence. His request to Jesus is, "If you will." The man leaves the matter in Jesus' hands. We are encouraged to take to Jesus our requests in a spirit of humbleness and dependence. And in doing so, imploring with all confidence, we say, "Lord, if you will, you know what is best." Jesus expressed compassion toward the imploring man. By the way, compassion is one of the main attributes of Jesus. He stretched out his hand and touched the man. According to Mosaic law, touching a leper caused defilement. Jesus' compassion revealed to be greater than the ceremonial laws of the time. Jesus was willing, healed the man, and restored him to his right place in society. The words of Jesus, "Be clean," were enough. God's word is powerful. The man was healed. And then Jesus sternly charged him to say nothing to anyone. Why? For several reasons. First, Jesus did not want to be considered just a miracle worker. Second, Jesus did not want his teaching ministry to be hindered by too much publicity being given to his healing miracles. And third, Jesus did not want his death to come prematurely, that is, before he had accomplished all he was to accomplish in his ministry. Could the man keep quiet after such a miraculous experience in his life? Hardly. He talked freely about it and spread the news. What effect do Jesus' acts of compassion have on us? Do we keep them secretly to ourselves? Do we talk about them to others? Jesus asked the man to show himself to the priests, the ones in charge to pronounce lepers clean, and to offer sacrifices as a testimony to his cure. The sacrifices were to give evidence to the priest and the people that the cure was real and that Jesus respected the law. The healing was also a testimony to Jesus' divine power, since Jews believed that only God could cure leprosy. As a result of the man spreading the news, it became difficult for Jesus to move around and to preach. Jesus' incredible popularity would soon cause conflict with the scribes and Pharisees. People wanted immediate physical benefits in an easy way. Though Jesus does have compassion on people's physical suffering, he aims more than the cure of the body. He desires the salvation of body and soul through faith. Thank you for joining us in the series of studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Please join us again next time.
Thank you for listening to this Bible study on the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Arno Bessel. The podcasts of this program can be downloaded from our website at lutheranradio.co.uk. And for more information about Pastor Arno Bessel and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.